few minutes ago about whether we would be able to track patients who went elsewhere if you gave them a BI-RADS 4 and 5 and then they went to another place and they had their biopsy and we had a reasonable attempt at getting their pathology, but we couldn't. How is that going to really affect this measure? So I put it as a partial. Exclusions were NA, and that's 4C. And then unintended consequences, I gave this a partial because I think that without knowing the volume of the center, without being able to incorporate the detection rate and the other rates, it may be difficult to interpret this value by itself. And also, if it's a small center and you don't have access to get the additional pathology results from the biopsies, you might not have complete data collection. So I gave the data collection aspects for EAP too. So overall, even though I kind of dinged it a little bit for the data collection and being able to get that pathology for, I think this is a good measure. And so for feasibility and endorsement, feasibility, complete, and then recommendation would be yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, Carl?
Carl Dorsey, can I make one comment? This is PPV2, which is a recommendation for biopsy, not the actual performance of biopsy. So
right.
If we do PPV2, that's an added difficulty for a facility to go find their 4s and 5s who actually haven't gotten anything in their own facility, and it's over and above those who have a biopsy somewhere else. It's a little more difficult. It's probably pretty close in this country, but it is a difference.
Can I ask for clarification on that? Because that's not how it's defined here, I think.
I thought it was just a recommendation.
The denominator is
BI-RADS
4 or 5.
It should be recommendation. The BI-RADS is a recommendation by and large. It does not mean that they're going to have the BI-RADS. That's PPV3.
Right.
And that's
right.
What we're, that's a difference, though.
But the denominator is defined here. Sorry, Scott is up. The denominator is defined here is the number of diagnostic mammos that are 4 or 5. And the numerator is the
cancer.
So
I, 4 or 5 is a recommendation. It doesn't mean that they have the biopsy. The denominator of PPV3 is biopsy obtained.
Right. No, this is PPV2, though.
Right. But that's what I'm just making that slight difference that it's going to be a little bit harder. People have to follow up their 4s and 5s in their own facility who decided not to have it.
That
could be important to see how follow-up is, but you're right. As far as this is concerned, it would be better to know that PPV3, which is why I guess the FDA, that's what's mandated for the FDA that we present, not 2 but 3.
But this is also getting at the BI-RADS. So all BI-RADS are recommendations for physicians. So, I mean, I think the way it's written, it's still getting at the recommendations.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood the 3 levels of definitions. That's all. They're very close, if not identical.
But we're not talking about, but one of the other measures is trying to get at what was actually done versus what was recommended.
Right. And it's
worth making the point that for that small facility, being able to document electronically the recommendation as opposed to the completion is much, much easier. So from the standpoint of feasibility, sticking with PPV2 and saying, well, they're going to get it, right? They have a little hope for that last fifth. It makes it easier to do. I'm not saying that you should stop there.
Carl Dorsey, you have 2 layers now. You still have to find out who's got cancer in the 4s and 5s that you recommend. So not only do you have to find out who goes somewhere else, you also have to find out in your own group who didn't do it. So it's a little more work.
This is Mike Dykes. Do we have any sense for what proportion of people that are a 0, 4, or 5 don't come back for follow-up? What group of people drop off? 5%, 8%, or 1%?
It varies by area. It varies by the population you're looking at. Most people, when you recommend a biopsy, will get it done. I don't know what most means. I would say maybe you should ask for that.
In our practice, everyone would recommend a basic
comments on this particular measure? See, we're getting better at this. Okay. So the next one, I think we have time to do this one. Let's do IEP 004-10, which is the recall rate.
Right. So I'm Mike Backett, as primary review for this. I have the benefit of what appears to have been substantial discussion about this measure the last time the MQF met, but I'll go through once again a little bit in isolation, and my comments are obviously tinged with it coming in a set. So the measure is recall rate, which is, you know, how often you're calling it for unknown, and strictly the percentage interpreted as fours or fives, and it does look at screening mammograms here, not diagnostic.
0405.
0405, right, and not diagnostic mammograms. If you come down, you know, from an importance, I gave that a C. You know, obviously, it's pretty well understood. It's been discussed before for 1A. 1B, the opportunity for improvement, the same thing. It's a pretty straightforward measure and a way to compare centers. 1C, outcome or evidence to support the measure focus. Once again, I think it's fairly important. Although in its own, I'd say it might be a partial in conjunction with everything else. I would give it a C. So overall, I think it does meet the importance criteria, the scientific acceptability of the measure. That I give a C. It's obviously been around the block. Reliability, I think, is C, and the same for validity. The exclusions, I gave that a P only because there might be some issue about stratification of the population if you're working in a different demographic. So if you could stratify it, that'd be a little bit better. The analytic method is a 2E. I gave that a C. Meaningful difference in performance. I went back and forth here between a C and a P and ended up on a C, once again, just because of the stratification issue. You will get differences in the centers, I thought. 2G, the comparability of multiple data sources. I put this as an NA. One thing I did think about using multiple data sources is, and the reason I asked the question about drop-off before, is you say a BI-RADS 0, 4, or 5, assuming that it almost always goes to follow-up, taking the perspective of the health plan instead of the perspective of the imaging center, if you have continuously enrolled members, it's pretty straightforward to look at who had a screening mammo, you paid a claim on it,
then who came back and had either a diagnostic mammal to follow it up or a biopsy, and actually out of the pathology, you would see a cancer diagnosis coded on the pathology. So I do think that from the plan perspective, there's a pretty good way to get an alternate data as compared to from the imaging center where you're kind of going to chase down that path that might have happened in a different place. Disparities of care, I put that as an NA. So overall, you know, I like the measure, and even within the realm of the patient population, once again, from a health plan perspective, you've got a much narrower band of membership or demographic. You might have a full Medicaid plan, a full Medicare plan or a commercial plan. So I thought that might help take out some of the stratification problem. It's meaningful. I gave that a C. Harmonization. It's between a C and a P. Obviously, I think it should go with the other measures, and I think it has some additional value. And the feasibility for 4, I thought it was, given that there's a low drop-off rate, I think the data is generated. I think the electronic sources are there from the plan perspective. I don't think electronic sources are there from a center perspective, because as soon as it's outside your center, you have to go get it. But if we have the EMR eventually comes to be, there are electronic sources available. And then for exclusions, I put NA, 4D, susceptibility to unintended consequences. I give that a partial just because of the things that we've talked about, where you could bias your sample set. And then data collection and strategies, I gave that a P. From the health plan, it's pretty good. From the center, it's not as good. There's possibly a manual component there. Overall, I do think that it's feasible, and overall, I like it as a measure even on its own basis, and I think it's a little bit better if you put the other stuff with it.
Thank you. Are there other comments, first from the group that reviewed the MAMO measures and then from the group as a whole?
This is Mary Gimignotti. The only other additional comment is I wouldn't endorse it on its own, this one, because I think that it has the unintended consequence of being able to provide a rate that is really meaningless. So the question it becomes is, if you have a high recall rate, is that a good thing or a bad thing? But if you don't really know what your cancer is within that population risk, you're just having, an individual woman wouldn't know whether to go to center A or center B if you gave her 2 recall rates. They're going to say, well, maybe I don't want the extra radiation from mammography, so I'm going to go to center A that has a 12% recall rate, but she should really be going to center B that has a higher cancer detection rate, and they may have an 18% recall rate. So that's the only caution I have and when I reviewed this one about this measure.
Can we have clarification on that? Yeah, I'm still at a loss of do you want to say, I can't quite get how, in a circle, it seems like there's such uniformity of view that this measure has meaning. Is a good high number or a low number here?
This is Rebecca Smith-Feinman. Just to put it into context, if you look at how individual physicians perform, the variation in the recall rate is 2% to 27%.
Right.
So the example that you gave of going to a facility that has an 18% recall rate, I would strongly disagree that that's a place to go. There's no overall benefit above a certain level. You don't find more cancers if you have a more recall rate. So at the extremes of recall rate, I think it's clear that you're spending a lot of money, you're doing a lot of tests, and you're not getting much bang for your buck. So at 26%,
right,
that's easy to say that in 1,000 mammograms, we're looking for 5 cancers, that you're calling back 250 women to find them. That's a lot of recall. So at the extremes of recall, it's very expensive, and you're not getting much.
But let me just try it this way. 2 centers both have rates of 10% recall. One of them is sending the right 10% on vitality. The other one is sending the wrong 10%.
Right.
Do you know which that 10% is good or bad?
That's why you need the other measures. That's why everybody is saying this is no good as a standalone.
Right. That's the other measure.
Yeah. You need the cancer detection rate and PPP together.
But extremes of this number, and I think the example you gave of 18%, that's a pretty high number. That wouldn't be acceptable to me.
Rebecca, two comments that I think you probably know a lot about, but my reading of the literature suggests that, one, there's variation between initial mammogram and subsequent mammograms in the recall rates, and two is, and we got hung up on this at the last cycle of this committee, setting the threshold at 10, which is the stated here when the average is 9.8 or 11, depending on which study you're believing in, sort of the range from whoever published this study, the range from the big Rosenberg study was something like 6 to 14% for the middle 50%.
That,
so
Ron, I think, focuses on the interquartile range.
Yeah.
So the standards that are set forth for the ACR don't really make sense. The purpose of this guideline is not to identify half the facilities as not doing a good job.
Right.
So I think separate from if the measurement goes,
the threshold.
What threshold are we going to define quality? And I would sort of question, just because it's the only thing I keep raising, whether or not you need stratification of the peak, of the recall rate. The recall rate goes up two or threefold with age. And even within a HMO well-defined screening population, that range will go from 40 to 80, and that's where the recall rate goes up substantially. Or I should take it back. It's higher and then it goes down.
If I look at the population of 40 to 65, how much does their recall rate move?
A factor of two.
So I'm a lot better than...
But
everybody has a blended.
Yeah.
Everybody has a blend of the... So the real, this is Scott Gazelle. The real question is, what's the extreme of variation due to different age makeups in different... practice.
And in this one, to argue, this is Rebecca Stefano, about what Eric said, for recall rate, I think that will be driven by the quality of the mammography rather than the patient mix. Right? Because now we're twofold to threefold difference rather than fivefold.
Carl.
Carl Dorsey. Well, let me bring something else up that clinical mammographers know. About 25% of recalls are due to what's called fake density. Things that you look at a 2D image and you don't know whether it's real or not. 25 to 30%. Those are drastically diminished when you have a prior example study. So if you have a facility that doesn't have a closed population that tends to get people from various sources, they're not going to have as many prior exams, and their recall rate is going to be up much, much more than the age stratification. So that's just something you don't realize until you do this.
That's the, and this is Scott Gazelle, that's the value of stratifying both, at least considering stratifying both by age and by first versus
correct,
subsequent.
Correct, exactly. But it's very high if you don't have a prior exam.
So other comments on this measure in particular? Ray, you look
like I'm like Eric. I'm baffled by the mathematics. So if my recall rate is slightly higher, but within the acceptable range, but my earlier measure, PPV2, is slightly lower, is that good or bad?
I would say
that's
bad. By definition.
Right. Okay, but what are the magnitudes that you would expect? Do we know that?
No.
In other words, from a quality improvement standpoint, if those are my measures, 1 year, year one, and then year two, is that good or bad? Am I getting better or am I getting worse?
So can I ask for Helen for clarification? Our role is not to define the threshold or the standard so much as to define the measure that would be used for reporting. Is that correct?
It actually varies very much by the measure.
Okay.
I'm still struck by, the question is, how useful is it? Measure if it's not interpretable.
Right.
And so I guess the question would be,
zero.
I'm being hyperbolic intentionally, just not about this measure specifically, but just at times that's what measures
get
put on. If you're trying to identify you guys keep repeatedly talking about that tail where there's potential poor quality, the question would be, you put all these, and I agree, my head's spinning from the math as well, in terms of the small numbers here, but, is there a tail of poor quality here that you're really trying to identify? In which case, a threshold might be something to consider.
And
but again, that might be something we'd like to hear from the developers.
So I could imagine that we would say, we could come to the point, perhaps not today, where there would be three measures, and they'd be taken as a suite of MAMO measures, for example, and to obtain a passing grade, you have to be within range from all three, for example. Conceptually, I could imagine that. I think the data exists for us to get to that point, but it's the discussion of individual measures versus combining them that may be a challenge. I'm sorry, Judy, go ahead, please.
This is Judy, but what happens when two of those measures, as the example that you just gave, when you get better at one, the other one, you also get better at the other one, what's the utility of having two measures that you expect will change in the right direction together? What you really want is something that's going to get it a different piece of that to try and get at both accuracy and reliability.
And that's why you need all three. Cancer
but
detection rate.
If one going up always means the other one's going to go down, assuming that those are the good directions, then why do you need both?
They don't necessarily.
Yeah.
What you need, yes, they do. The false positives and false negatives vary indirectly.
No, but
so what you have to do is get a balance. Obviously, if you call everyone back, you're going to have a little higher cancer detection rate. But if you're working where normal people work, in the middle, in order to get that little extra cancer detection, you're going to have to call a hell of a lot back. So you cut it off there. Okay, you know? Yes, doing better for cancer detection, but boy, you're calling back 800 women to see two cancers. So it's a balance, so the edges are important.
Scott Gazelle, Carl, that's only correct if you assume everybody's operating on the same ROC curve.
Correct, that's true.
And they're not.
They're
we
not.
Know that they're
so
not.
So
that's why we have multiple measures is to get the people
who are not
on the same ROC curve.
But that's an indication of education, not metrics, to get people on the same.
Not necessarily. It's an indication of people's ability to perform.
This is Rebecca Sassoon. We studied several hundred doctors who read several million manuals, and we plotted them all in this ROC space. And there were a few doctors who we called everybody and found most cancers, a few doctors who we called nobody and found a cancer. The vast majority of doctors were in the middle. There was no threshold association. Some were good and some were bad. And so we want to identify the doctors who were bad, and I would argue the main way I want to find them is they're not finding any cancer.
And that's why you want cancer detection rate on the bottom.
Right. Then I get past cancer detection rate, and I say, okay, you've met the threshold, but you're doing two times or three times as many tests for the cost. Let's see if we can move you. But I think Helen's idea about the extremes are very clear. There are people who are just not operating at a safe level. And that's what would be great if these metrics could identify. Either they're finding no cancer or they're doing too many tests.
Well, that does relate exactly to what I said. The false positives and false negatives vary internally. If you're not finding a lot of cancers, you've got a lot of false negatives. And if you have a high false positive rate and a low false negative rate,
doctors out of the 200.
But that's who you want to cut out.
You want to get rid of them too, but you also want to do a better job of figuring out who's not coming up with a minimum standard.
That's an education thing. That's moving along a curve. That's not moving the curve up or down. That's moving along a curve.
It's probably a little of both. Helen, we're at noon. Should we take a lunch break now and then come back to the developer comments? Is that a logical break point?
People feel like they're ready for that yet?
So we're scheduled for an hour for lunch. Why don't we take 20 minutes or half an hour to sort of get lunch, do whatever anybody needs to do in terms of catching up, and then try and continue the discussion as we're eating lunch. So half hour, okay?
It's got a lot of really good literature review in it. It's not really. and it's also only among Medicare beneficiaries.
And they can't do it among Medicare, they're a Medicare beneficiary.
Yeah.
But is it trying to get that
I think, I mean, let me just look at it. I don't think it's a very good one. It's the follow-up, but it's poorly defined. It's really recall. I think it's not as good a measure. But you have to be careful because a lot of those measures are sort of sitting in the back corner there. That was Lewin, and NIA did it under contract. No, I'm just saying that this day is terrible. It really is a terrible problem. Yeah, I know. But, I mean, the ACR people, I think, their big problem is the two PPV, two ones, and lack of thought about how they're going to be combined. Yeah, I think foundation is fine. You've got to get, start chiseling away. If it's these smaller practices that are the ones that also have the quality problems, then you're going to do that. I mean, the other option is to say we're not going to stratify and we're going to just set wider acceptable ranges.
Right, so depending on which one you use, but if you use the PPV for screening,
but that's the worst one.
And because you need to set three different ranges.
Yeah. If you just look at these two, so let's say you just look at recall rate and cancer detection rate. If you so if you just look at these, right? The question is, do you have a sufficiently high positive predictive value?
No.
Right? You could do that if you had.
I had this worked out last night. So you could get, let's say your recall rate is targeted 10, right? The danger is there is that you're missing 10. But because the cancer rate is so low, it's a noisy measure. And this gives you, this cones down a little bit more on the ones you call positive and tells you something about it. You can sort of derive it from these two. Because it tells you what happens on the ones you call positive on the diagnosis.
I
think a number of us informally have said that's what we think should happen.
Yes. Okay, good.
And the CMS one is a terrible one. They're calling it follow-up rate, but only among Medicare beneficiaries. And the PCV1 on screening is not
and
what
it's redundant.
We want.
Thank you.
All right, looks like there's positive on that. Still not possible to get to the table.
It's in this building. It's in the building if you go down the elevators and walk across.
Okay.
There's another set of elevators on the south side. The issue is when you get out of the elevator, it's going to be off on your right. That's not the main office. That's the ninth floor. We have nine flicks. Six and five on this side, and nine on this side. So if you go upstairs, you can take a Tim McCall, you go up there to the office store, you can
Well, you know,
So it's a primary provider, or no,
why am I?
It's a big,
it's very, 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 very
Tell you.
And so
organ dose or total body weight.
So then we need, and then we have weight and height from the medical record.
It's too true.
in terms of your transport into a dose, but you could get those cans. What
do you mean about everybody else?
Care for
even if you don't care for health, if the same person has a pelvic CT scan, one of them has a total hip replacement and the other one doesn't,
so we're going to turn around 40 years.
We're going to double the dose.
Same study done on GE versus Siemens. If you actually audit it, not if you look at the protocols, but if you audit it, if you just audit the actual scans, you'll see a big difference. And if you go across generations of scanners, and they can't possibly know, and it's just spreading misinformation. I hate it that people are doing that. Until you got real information, there's no benefit in.
Right.
But at least Siemens is now starting to work with the ACR to make it possible to capture in a registry. So we need, it's just like DICOM, right? We need to get people together to agree on standards and do it. For what? Yeah, they haven't agreed on making it available in
a
So the access is there, the